Welcome to Interviews for Resistance. We are now several months into the Trump administration, and activists have scored some important victories in those months. Yet there's always more to be done, and for many people, the question of where to focus and how to help remains. In this series, we talk with organizers, agitators, and educators, not only about how to resist, but how to build a better world. I'm Sarah Jaffe, your host.
I'm Arielle Klagberg, a Montreal People's Alliance.
And I'm Antoine Little. I am the steering committee member of Two More People's Alliance and the chair of the Our City, Our Schools Coalition.
So we are talking on Thursday, and the news is that Philadelphia is taking back control of its public schools. So first off, just tell us about the news breaking today. What's going on? What's going to happen?
Sure. So we just came from City Hall, where Mayor Jim Kenney, who was elected on a pro-education platform, just announced to City Council and lots of other folks that he'll be calling on the School Reform Commission, which is the 16-year-long body that has ruled Philadelphia schools as part of a state takeover, to abolish itself and therefore claim the Philadelphia schools for local control. This is like 16 years in the making since the beginning of the SRC, and our coalition has been calling for this to happen, so we're pretty excited to see it happen this year. It's going to happen on November 16th.
I mean, this is a great moment, but it's not a great moment for the people who were part of this process. This is a great moment for the children of Philadelphia, the students of Philadelphia who have been affected by this failed experiment the last 16 years. You know, now they have an opportunity to actually, have an opportunity to receive the same education as their counterparts in many suburban districts. Hopefully we'll be able to see a change over from, the rule of the SRC to, now to local control here in Philadelphia.
Talk about what it has meant to have Philadelphia's schools controlled by the state, because I think a lot of people sort of aren't familiar with the situation and also aren't familiar what that's meant.
Like some of the things I think, I speak on like one of the things that I think the SRC should have fought for more diligently is a fair funding formula for our Philadelphia districts, because when you talk about the funding that comes to Philadelphia and the funding that comes to the suburban districts, it's like night and day.
Right.
When you walk into a public school, because I have four children here in the Philadelphia district, but I also have a child that goes to school in the Warminster district. And going to these schools, if you go into the Centennial District up in Warminster, you see one thing. And then when you come into the Philadelphia District, you see the total opposite of what I saw in the suburban district. So the funding that's given to the suburban district is nowhere near what it's so much more than what the funding and what students get here in Philadelphia. And it makes it pretty much impossible for the teachers to be able to educate our children the way that they need to be educated. Now, hopefully with local control, we can begin to fight and see a difference and a change in the funding and the way that our children receive money from the state and from the federal government.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history of when and how Philadelphia schools got taken over by the state?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 16 years ago, and based on financial straits that they say the district was in. Mm-hmm. And they said that the state having state control of the schools would make the schools better, but it actually did.
Yeah.
And when they took it over, that's when we began to see the decline in education levels. We began to see a rise in charter education, where more charter schools were awarded the opportunity to open schools here in Philadelphia. Not all over the state, but primarily here in Philadelphia, they were allowed to open up schools all over Philadelphia. And then you begin to see schools closing slowly but surely. More public schools were being closed and more charters were being opened.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you know, it was about 6-7 years ago when they decided that they wanted to close like 68, 67, 61 schools here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And that's what really got the masses involved where, you know, they said, no, we can't tolerate this. We're not going to have to tolerate this. And then the biggest piece of this was all of these school closures were in the Black and Brown community.
Tell us about the years of fighting for this. How did your organizing get started? And what are some of the things you guys have done over the years to really, you know, change this?
So the RCR Schools Coalition started about a year ago under the 215 People's Alliance umbrella. And we started this fight a year ago because we knew that our children here in Philadelphia deserved more. And so we decided to take on the challenge of getting rid of the SRC, either through self-dissolvement or, you know, through, you know, whatever method needed to be done to get it done.
Yeah.
So we took on the fight, and it was a hard fight because, you know, we had to go out and we had to organize communities. We had to have tons and tons of meetings with the powers that be, the stakeholders that are in place. And we had to sit down and have conversations with them and give them our vision of, you know, what the fight would take and what we would have to do in order to win the fight and move and be able to move forward and to regain local control. Now, like for myself, I got involved with the school situation maybe about, I want to say, like about 7-8 years when they decided to close 61 schools. And one of the schools that they were deciding to close was, number one, my old alma mater, PMPS Elementary School, but it was also the school that my children attended. Mm-hmm. And not just my children, but many children in the school and that school and from that neighborhood would be forced to walk almost over 10 blocks just mm-hmm. to get to the next school that they were talking about sending these children to. So I got involved to say, hold up, no, we can't do this. Went out, we organized the community, sat in at different SRC meetings, testified, gave testimony, meeting after meeting, challenging Dr. Hype to walk the distance that some of these children would have to walk through, and some of the community, the neighborhood that they had to walk through in order to get to the school weren't the best. So we had to show them what he was deciding to do with this one particular school. And then from there, you know, T.M. Pierce was one of the schools that was saved. But unfortunately, many of the other ones weren't able to be saved. But again, they were only in the Black and Brown community.
Right, right. And so I actually lived in Philadelphia for a little while, and I'm so old, I remember Michael Nutter running on a campaign with ads with his daughter saying that I'm the only, you know, my dad is the only one with a child in Philadelphia public schools. So I wonder if you could talk about the need for, I guess, a change in the mayor's office for this to come about as well.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, you know, Mayor Nutter, that was his campaign where he, you know, yeah, I'm the only person who has a child in public schools, but he didn't do enough either to help our schools because they were failing under his administration. He didn't run on an education platform as Mayor Kenny did, and we really appreciate the work that the mayor's office did to get this done. But, you know, going back under the Nutter administration, he ran with his daughter saying that, yeah, mom, I have a child, but he did absolutely nothing to help the schools. He didn't go out there and go to Harrisburg and make continuous arguments as to why we need local control. He didn't do any of those things. So, you know, just the mere fact of, you know, you getting up there saying that I have a child that attends public schools. Yeah, you attend public schools, but what else are you going to do? Mm-hmm. And he did nothing.
Yeah. And so, so we got to this point after quite a lot of organizing. Are there any particular events or campaigns or any things that you guys did over the last year or the last 7 years that stick out in your mind?
So we formed the RCDR Schools Coalition formed a year ago, really seeing a political opportunity where there was you know, the pathway to abolish the school reform commission and win back local control was getting 3 out of 5 of the SRC commissioners to vote to abolish themselves. And we saw an opening where there was going to be 3 open spots over the course of a couple months. And, you know, in the short time period where we had Mayor Kenny as our mayor, a mayor who ran on a pro-education platform, and Governor Tom Wolf as a governor who also ran on a pro-education platform,
right.
We thought, let's pressure them to put 3 people in place who will be in place to vote this thing out of existence. We launched last fall. We did a whole ton of meetings with city council members. We invited SRC commissioners out to hear from the public. There was a moment where they had confirmed that they were going to come, and then less than 24 hours before we canceled their attendance at a public forum. And then we, you know, consistently packed the school reform commission meetings for probably the last 6 months, escalating the tension on each one. And then we're getting ready to kind of move a strategy within city council as well. And that's when our conversations changed in tone with the mayor's office, and it became clear that they were going to move forward on this vote to abolish the SRC. So we're really excited about it, but this was, you know, a really, I would say, a hard fight over the past year, and really grew on 15 years of people organizing against the SRC and highlighting the myriad of issues that have come with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what happens now?
Well, the actual vote is November 16th. So we're going to have a rally at 4 p.m. on November 16th outside of the school district building. We're going to watch the vote together and then have a victory party. And then the real work that we've set out is making sure that the next school board is a true people's school board. So our coalition has put forward sort of 3 main criteria. One, that we need the true stakeholders of Philadelphia schools, the parents, teachers, the school staff, the students to really play a huge role on this next board. 2, that this board has to end the conflict of interest that flowed to SRC. No one that's on there or their family should be profiting off of Philadelphia school children's education. 3, that this needs to be a fighting school board, because we know that our work isn't done for true racial and economic justice in the schools. And we need, you know, we need a school board that's going to take on, like Antoine mentioned, the fair funding formula in Harrisburg, a school board that's going to fight for local corporations like Comcast to pay their fair share to our schools. And we need a school board that really sees itself as pushing forward the education justice movement in the city as opposed to being a barrier to it.
Yeah. You mentioned conflicts of interest. Has that been a particular thing on the School Reform Commission?
Absolutely. With Ms. Jimenez, if I'm not mistaken, her husband is a, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Aria, I think her husband is a lobbyist or something like that for charter operators. And Ms. Jimenez is one of the commissioners that sit on the SRC who has a stand in both when it comes to charters being yay or nay when it comes to being for approval.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a conflict of interest. And then now we have one of the former commissioners, Sylvia Sims, who is now I can't pull the word out of my head. She's
a lobbyist,
like a lobbyist too. For what's the name of that company, Ariel? I'm sorry.
For Mastery or another charter.
Right. Well, so it's for another charter program. So, and these are the type of things, like Ariel just said, these are the types of conflict of interest that we have to get away from, because at the end of the day, our children's education is not for sale.
Yeah.
Our children's education means more, because it's not about us. Again, it's about my 6-year-old, my 7-year-old, my 9-year-old, and my 17-year-old. It's about them, because they are the future, and these are the children and every other child here in Philadelphia who's trying to get a good quality education so they can be productive adults in this society.
What else should people know about the fight for Philadelphia's public schools?
I mean, what should they know?
We're going to keep going.
That was just the way you put the words right out of my mouth, Ariel. They should know that we're here and we're here to stay and we're here to put on the fight. for anything that pertains to education on the public front for the children of Philadelphia. Excellent. That's what the people need to know.
Excellent. And how can people?
And you need more people to get involved.
Yeah. So how can people keep up with you, and how can they get involved?
So we have the 215 People's Alliance website is at 215pa.com, and then we're also on Facebook and all the social media things. And then Our City, Our Schools Coalition website is ourcityourschools.com, which is a coalition of over 15 community, state, labor unions, parents, teachers, and student groups that have come together around this first successful phase in abolishing the SRC and, of course, you know, more democratic control of our schools.
And I know I gave you know, credit to the mayor's office, and I know Ariel gave credit to the governor's office, but without these two offices, you know, they did major work working with us to try to get this done, both the governor's office as well as the mayor's office.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Fayebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.